17. We've been working our way through the book of Genesis, and really took a number of weeks in the first two chapters dealing with creation, and I think we actually took probably a dozen weeks almost, and that's when we were up in the A-frame at that point in time. Quieting a noisy soul was going on down here, but we really wanted to establish a firm foundation in believing God created this world, and then viewing what are some of the other theories that are out there, such as the day-age theory and theistic evolution and so forth. And so we took a lot of weeks just going over creation itself, and then entering into the flood and coming out of the flood and understanding the changes. They couldn't eat animals, and they could eat animals, and the different changes that took place there. And then we got into the life of Abraham, which is really an intriguing life, and there is a lot for us to be gathered from his life. So again, we haven't really picked up a lot of speed just because there's so many new things. We're getting for the first time that God spoke, the first time that God appeared to man, and so forth. So we have taken time throughout this study. I was reading one of the writers, Wilmington, I believe it was, and he says, you know, he kind of stops and laughs at the fact of, can you imagine Abraham announcing to his friends, hey, I've got a new name. My name's Abraham. I'm a father of a multitude. And they must have laughed, thinking of Abraham's, you know, here he is 99 years old, doesn't have any children, and he's now calling himself a father of a multitude. But God has now changed his name. God is giving a new covenant, reestablishing his covenant with them. And I want to look at a couple of things. I want to look at the signs of the covenant. I want to take a little bit more time and look at Ishmael and some facts about Abraham, and just kind of really flesh out the rest of chapter 17 here today. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our Sunday school study. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know your word better. We also want to take a little bit of time and apply it to our lives. But for the most part, we want to learn your word and truths about your word, things we may have never heard of before or never really thought about. And so guide us in our time in preparation and study here of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So notice here with me, as God has established a covenant with Abram, we will call this the Abrahamic covenant. There are a number of covenants throughout the Word of God. There's the Adamic with Adam. There's the Edomic regarding the Garden of Eden. There is the Noahic regarding Noah. There is the Mosaic. There is the Davidic and so forth, the New Covenant. There are basically seven covenants in the Word of God. Some of them are conditional, meaning God will fulfill that covenant as long as they fulfill the requirements for that covenant. Other covenants are called unconditional, meaning God is going to fulfill the covenant whether they obey or not. Abrahamic, Davidic are two of those covenants. Abrahamic dealing with God is going to raise up a nation. Davidic dealing with how God is going to maintain a king upon that throne for all eternity. And that king will ultimately be and is the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has established a covenant with Abraham. Abraham was responsible for taking seven animals and slaying them, sacrificing them, and then cutting them in two and laying the carcasses on each side. This is typical. Any solemn, very serious covenant was really agreed upon by this form under the law, and even before the law. And so they would take these two seven animals, they would slay them into two parts, lay them apart, and if two men were entering into this solemn agreement, they would then walk together through the middle of these carcasses laid on each side, and show that they are both going to fulfill their part of the agreement. Well, with Abraham, he didn't have to walk through because this is an unconditional covenant. So Abraham merely had to slay the animals, lay them to each side, and then keep the birds away. Do you remember what the birds represent in the Word of God? evil. They represent evil, evil forces, sinful forces, and even talk about that. The Lord Jesus Christ would use that analogy, speaking of demons and of Satan himself. And so it was representation of evil. And so Abram would keep away the birds from feasting on the carcasses, and eventually God puts him in a deep sleep like he did with Adam, and only God passes through, showing that he's going to fulfill this covenant alone. But you know what? It's been 24 years. There's still no child. When God had initially called Abraham to leave Ur of Chaldees and then Haran, he was only 75 years of age. Now he is 99 years old. And so God is reassuring him, listen, Abram, I am going to fulfill this covenant on my own. So if you would, look at verse number 10. This is my covenant which shall be which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And what happened when God developed a covenant or agreed to a covenant with them, God would want some type of a sign. Now let me ask you, what is the sign of the Noahic covenant? Anybody know? What is the sign? Okay, a rainbow, okay, in the sky. So God wanted there to be a sign for these various covenants. And for this one, he called for circumcision. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. Now, this is just a quick sidebar. I know usually nothing's quick with me, but I'm going to try to keep going through this. What Israel ended up doing, this was to portray a dedication, a surrender, a commitment to God. This was to portray physically what God wanted to do spiritually in their lives, that they would get rid of that which was dead in their lives spiritually, that they were to live unto the Lord and keep Him in the forefront of their mind and at the center of their heart. But Israel failed. In fact, Israel got to where they were just merely doing the physical circumcision and not doing the circumcision of the heart. Listen to this verse, Moses speaking, and now Israel, it's found in Deuteronomy 10, but what doth the Lord require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk on all of his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. So what was he saying? You're keeping the outward form, but you're not doing it on the inside. And what God wanted that circumcision to be a sign of surrender and dedication to him. And so Moses had to call them to change. He said, listen, you need to circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Listen to what he says in Deuteronomy 30. Return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God. So what did that mean? That circumcision meant to get rid of everything that would keep you from properly loving the Lord. And Israel was failing to do that. In fact, Paul would say this, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, meaning just circumcision alone, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. The circumcision is that of the heart. So even Paul in the New Testament was calling for not just an outward surrender, but an inward surrender. In fact, he would say to the church of Corinth, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. He says, it's not the physical act that I'm calling you to. That was merely a sign that you were Jewish. But let's go back and focus now on Genesis chapter 17. I said a quick sidebar. Hopefully that suffices. So God was looking for initially an outward show or an outward sign that they were entering into a covenant with God. But he ultimately wanted it to be something of the heart. And Israel was going to fail that, and God was going to call them back to that. So God calls, he says, hey, I'm making a covenant with you. I want you to kind of certify this covenant by, through the circumcision. Look what it says in verse number 8. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Now, do any of you know why 8 days? Typically in a average home today, or an average hospital, I guess I should say today, a male child is immediately circumcised after birth. That's not typically done through midwifery, by the way. Typically, they will wait till the 8th day. Does anyone know why? Okay, I've got hands up. I'm going to say Brother David. Excellent. Perfect answer. Vitamin K does not begin to help the blood to coagulate until the 8th day. So clotting of blood by natural means is not happening in a child's body until the 8th day. And so God calls for to wait till the 8th day. Why? Because that by then God will have a natural means of that for that boy, baby, for his blood to clot on its own. And so they're going to wait the 8th day, and the heart of thy seed, skip down to the wrong place here, circumcise among you every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. So they were to circumcise both the young boys, or even we might say the servants, or those who were bought from a stranger. He that is born in thy house, verse 13, and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. The idea, that's going to be an everlasting sign. And the uncircumcised child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So he said, so if he's not circumcised, then he's not part of my people, and he's going to be cut off. Kind of a play pun there, a tongue-in-cheek, I guess, sort of words there. But he's going to be cut off from the people. He's not going to be part of the covenant agreement with Israel. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, she shall not call her, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? There's kind of a, oh Lord, yeah, you've missed this one. Kind of that, I presume, that kind of a laugh. Not a mocking laugh, but, you know, Lord, that's not possible. Can you imagine me, Lord, having a son? And think of my wife. She's past the years of bearing children. This is a first of 3 times of laughter regarding this idea. Look, if you would, chapter 18. Look at verse number 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Shall I have the pleasure of having a child now that I'm old? And my husband's old as well. And so again, I think she is laughing of a similar nature. Just kind of doubting, an uncomfortable doubting laughter. Look at chapter 21 with me one more time. I think this laughter here is different. I think now she's convinced. And in verse number 6, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And I think that's what the idea of joyful laughter, the idea of a laughter of joy now that the child would be born, and others will laugh with joy thinking that Sarah in her old age was able to now have a child. And so those three times of laughter regarding the birth of Isaac, that promised child. Now let's go back to the 17th chapter and let's pick up at the 18th verse, but let's make a slight change in what we're focusing on. I was focusing on the sign of the covenant, and that being circumcision, and it had to be everyone that came into the family, beginning at the day 8, whether you were born into the family or whether you were bought into the family. But Abraham already had a son. His name was Ishmael. Ishmael's mother name was Hagar. Hagar was an Egyptian handmaid of Sarah, probably her best handmaid. She was an Egyptian who was well serving her. And Hagar was suggested by Sarah to be the one to produce a son, thinking, hoping this might be that promised child. This child developed that while there was initially a discord in the family and Sarah sent Hagar away, the angel of the Lord meets with Hagar, says, go back to the family. And Hagar and Ishmael rejoin the family and develop a relationship, and no doubt Ishmael became the beloved son of Abraham. In fact, look at verse number 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Do you remember the prophecy regarding Ishmael? That he would become what? Become a nation, but what about his character? He'd be known as being wild, unruly, basically a wild donkey. By the way, really interesting. I did some study and can't bring it all out. But God used a specific term there, the angel of the Lord did. There were two terms for donkey. One was domesticated and one was one that was just wild and roaming. And he didn't use a term for the domesticated one. He used a term for the wild and roaming donkey. Abraham had this in his heart. Oh, that, you know, he has one son. He loves that son. He's now 13. And he says, oh, that he might live before. He just still wanted Ishmael to love the Lord and to be maybe even that promised child. Now, in your notes, I have two verses from Galatians. Do you see that? If you have the note sheet there, again, as you come in, make sure you try to grab those sheets. They'll be helpful in following along. Galatians chapter 4 says this, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of them by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. So, Ishmael represents the flesh, represents living of physical desires, but he of the free woman was by promise, so Isaac is going to represent the spirit. Remember, the spirit versus the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. And Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac are ultimately going to clash. And what God is showing there is a picture, an illustration of how the flesh and the spirit are at odds one with the other. So Ishmael is a type or representation of the flesh. Isaac becomes then a type of the spirit or spiritual thing. Now someone asked a good question. If Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation, then wouldn't Ishmael be Jewish? Or, in their mind, is really Jacob the father of Israel? because from there on out they would all be Jewish, and maybe Abraham just kind of gets it started, but the father is actually Jacob and not Abraham. Well, let's look here a little bit at this. Let's look at verse 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a what? A father of many nations, not just a Jewish nation. In fact, if you were to study it out, there were many nations that came out of the 8 children that Abraham ultimately had. Ishmael, his children, we become the Arabs, and we would call them the Ishmaelites. So the Arab people or the Ishmaelites were one of the nations. He also had a son called Midian. They are the Midianites. Okay, Midianites become a really important part of the Bible story when you get into the book of Judges. And even with the life of Joseph. So the Midianites. So here the word of God says, out of Abraham was not just going to be one nation of people, not just a Jewish nation of people, but actually many nations have I made of thee. And so Ishmael was not Jewish. Ishmael is actually Gentile, born to Hagar, remember, representing the flesh. Well, we're going to read here in a minute that Abraham had Ishmael circumcised. Well, why? If he wasn't Jewish, why did he have him circumcised if he's a Gentile? Well, look again at verse number 18. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So if Abraham really had this desire that Ishmael would just follow the Lord, I think Abraham's going to do all that he can to try to point him in that direction. Look what God said in 18, and the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Well, if you hear that from God, wouldn't you say, I'm going to make sure he's circumcised as well? I don't want him to be cut off from our people. I think what Abraham is doing here is everything possible to point Ishmael in the direction of being under the blessing of God. So I don't think he's doing it because he thinks, well, this man's Jewish, and I'm going to have him circumcised because he's Jewish. No, I think what he's doing is doing everything possible to make sure that he might be pointed toward the direction of serving the Lord. Now, let me just say, by simple application and not very long, we ought to do that with all of our children. We ought to point them into a direction of serving the Lord and do all that we can to have a prayer or desire that, they might serve the Lord as well. So Ishmael's 13 years old and has developed this deep relationship with Abraham. And Abraham's doing all that he can to make sure that he is not cut off from the people or that he has broken the covenant with God. Look at verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So God is making it really clear there's going to be something different with Isaac. So again, Ishmael is not Jewish. Ishmael is Gentile, just like 7 of the other children within the family. Isaac ends up being the only one that is the seed that God wants to establish his covenant with. Look at the next verse. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful. I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. So again, God is not saying he's going to be Jewish. God say, listen, this is what I'm going to do with Isaac, but as for Ishmael, you've probably seen family trees. And typically as I study these passages, I pull out some of those or look up some of those family trees. And it's interesting to see, you know, you have Abraham and Sarah, and then there's a line, and then it goes up here, and in Ishmael, and then there's a line, and off of him are 12 sons. And then, of course, you have the line in Isaac, and off of him, then you have Jacob, and off of him you have 12 sons, ultimately the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you drop down, and off of Keturah are now 6 other children. By the way, all Gentiles, and all Gentile nations. And so God is making it really clear there's going to be one covenant nation, and that's going to be out of Isaac. And so I truly believe, and even the New Testament would testify, if you read through the New Testament, who is it? Who is the father of Israel? It's Abraham. We have Abraham as our father, that none of them point to Jacob as being the father. In fact, if you go to the genealogies of Matthew chapter 1, written to the Jews, they trace that genealogy back to Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and so forth. And so, yes, Abraham does have 8 children. He does have 2 of them initially, and probably all the others as well, circumcised. But only one of them is Jewish, and that would be Isaac, and through his seed after him would be the same. Look again at verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. So when you look at verse 19, 20, and 21, he says, I'm going to establish my covenant with Isaac. But as for Ishmael, I'm going to bless him. He's going to be great, and he'll have 12 princes. But again, verse 21, but my covenant I'm going to establish with Isaac. And so I think God is making it really clear that the Jewish line is definitely going to come out of Isaac and out of Isaac alone. And again, going back to the phrase spoken of earlier, which was where? Verse 5, a father of many nations have I made thee. And so there are going to be a number of nations that are ultimately going to come out of Isaac. But the one the Bible story wraps around is the Jewish nation following that of the line of Isaac. So let's go to the covenant, back to the covenant a little bit. Maybe some of you men heard it's time. And you knew from that she was ready to go to the hospital to deliver a child. I remember Karen with one of the instances, maybe I shouldn't share that. I just heard her say my water broke, and I remember quickly rolling out of the bed. I was in the go mode, you know. Well, God is announcing it's time. And remember, they've now waited 24 years for to really hear these words, and God is going to announce now that the man child shall be born. Let's pick it up in verse number 22. He left off talking with him, that'd be Abraham. God left off talking with Abraham, and God went up from Abraham. Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised. Look at verse 25. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised. Look at verse 26. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son. Verse 27, and all the men of the house, whether they were born or whether they were bought, all of them were circumcised on that day. And so now God has got them prepared for the establishment of starting this Jewish nation. And God is about to announce when this child shall be born. So what God does is sends an angel of the Lord, a servant of the Lord, to visit with Abraham. Let's look here in chapter 18. Was it last week I talked about Christophanies or Theophanies? Okay, not everyone was here. A Christophany or a Theophany. Christophany would be an appearance of Christ. A theophany would be an appearance of God. I believe that the angels of the Lord mentioned that we studied last week were pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, when I say appearances, maybe I should say visits or visitations, because they weren't seen. But the angel of the Lord met in a dream, in a vision, and talked with the various ones, whether it be Jacob, whether it be Hagar, and so forth. But here it's different. Starting in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham is at the tent, and at the door of his tent. And from chapter 18 and 19 almost seem parenthetical. Maybe you're watching a film and it goes to things are going on here, and now all of a sudden the scene changes and there's things going on at the same time over here. And you can pick up very quickly, you know, the director is bringing some things together. Well, all this story from starting in chapter 12 through chapter 17, it's all been focused on Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. All of a sudden, for two chapters, he's going to focus a little bit more on that promise and then go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, who's at the center of Sodom and Gomorrah? Who's living there? Lot. So all of a sudden, the scene changes. So it's almost for parenthetical reasons. The focus is going to change, and the story is off of the birth of Isaac for a moment. And its focus is on the preparation for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And look what it says in verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord, what? Appeared unto him. It's the first mention of that. The Lord spoke unto Abraham for the first time, and that's recorded. The words actually were recorded in chapter 15. The Lord had previously spoken unto him when he called him, but we don't have any of the details. But here's the first time that the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, as he sat, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. This appearance of the Lord, notice capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So the Hebrew word here is Jehovah. Who is Jehovah? Jehovah is the Almighty. That's cheating. I want more information. Ultimately, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And take some great study to find out that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Now, isn't that interesting for a Jehovah's Witness? If they only knew. I mean, that's sad. It's a sad truth. If they only knew that Jehovah is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who they say is a good man. He's a godly man. He, in a sense, is a God-man, but is not God, the God. The Lord appeared unto him. This does not contradict. John chapter 1 says that no man shall see him. Speaking of the Father, but we'll definitely see the Son because he comes in the flesh in Genesis or John chapter 1. He was in the flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when the Lord appeared, I believe this only through study and using the Word as a base. This is speaking of Christ, and using all the teaching of so many sound fundamental men, that this would be then what we would call a theophany or Christophany, but this is actually the Lord appearing in a physical form in the Old Testament. Again, the angel of the Lord, when they came, they came to declare a message but weren't seen. Here, there is a physical manifestation of him. And he appeared with two men. And he is going to come and begin talking to Abraham. He's going to give the Lord is going to give the promise of when the child is going to be born next. And then he's going to announce the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we're going to get into that next week as this continues to unfold. There's one other statement I wanted to make. Oh, I find it interesting. When you get to Sodom and Gomorrah, how many men are there entering in with Lot? How many? There were three that came to Abraham. But how many go to Sodom and Gomorrah? There's two. And believe that then the Lord, after delivering this message and talking to Abraham, would then remove himself, and these two other men would enter then into the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and there meet with Lot. So next week, this is what I'm hoping to do. Next week, entering into both chapters 18 and 19 together and looking at the announcement, both of the joyous announcement of the birth, the sad announcement of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then looking at that event in chapter number 19. We are soon then going to turn the table to the birth of Isaac and then Abraham taking him up onto Mount Moriah there to be a sacrifice. And so this morning, we kind of focused on the sign of the covenant being the circumcision Ishmael and where is his place in history. Not being Jewish, but I believe being Gentile, circumcised, because I believe Abraham's trying to point me in the right direction toward that. And then God getting to the time, the place now where he's announcing it's time. It's this time next year, you're going to have a son, and his name shall be called Isaac. Let's pray. Dear